It's time once again for The Bible Answer Man with your host, Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. Should Christians embrace Halloween as just a fun excuse for the kids to wear costumes? Or should we turn off the lights, not answer the doorbell, and wait for the day to pass? Well, to help us get a perspective on this, Hank has invited Gretchen Passantino, co-founder of Answers in Action, to join us and talk about Halloween. Today's Bible Answer Man is a rebroadcast of a recorded program. Please consider contacting CRI and ask about Halloween and the spiritual covering we need as Christians throughout the year. Just call 888-7000-CRI or go to our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's your host for the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
We are now asking questions about Halloween. Should we participate in Halloween? Should we accommodate Halloween? Or should we vigorously denounce Halloween? And to answer those questions and many others, in studio with me, Gretchen Passantino, as already mentioned, she is the founder and the president of Answers in Action and a good friend of this ministry. I want to start out, Gretchen, by talking about the history of Halloween.
Well, you know, Hank, I think something that you and I have both talked about many times before and that we'll certainly be emphasizing today is that there is no day that is specially consecrated to Satan, and all days should be consecrated to God. It's not a matter of trying to redeem an evil holiday. All days belong to God, and every breath that we breathe comes to us from God. So as we look at this holiday, as we look at other holidays, as we look at commemorations or anniversaries of things that are bad that have happened, we need to remember that in every case, God is in control of it all. God is the one who's the king and the one we are to worship and the one that we are to, as Jesus says, fear in the sense of a healthy awe and respect. Halloween itself is a contraction of the phrase the holy evening. And it really started the term Halloween as a Christian term to refer to the beginning of the 24-hour celebration of what's called All Saints Day, or the one day in the year when Christians all over the world would gather together to remember and thank God for the testimonies, the lives of the saints, those people who had gone before us and had been exemplary paragons of virtue and faithfulness. Many of them were martyrs and died for their faith. And we picked that time just as a special time to commemorate those people. The holidays in the historic Christian church were celebrated just like the Jewish ones, where time is counted from sundown to sundown rather than our culture from sunrise to sunrise. So the holiday begins with the sundown. That's the evening of the holy day, or the Halloween, the holy evening, and then continues through the next day until the next sundown. All Saints Day is what we would refer to as November 1st. But originally what happened was during the time, you know, some approaching the time of the winter solstice, approaching the time when the sun was out for the least amount of time during the day, when the weather was the coldest, when the vegetation was growing the least, when the animals weren't giving birth, that time of death and decay and ending was a time that the pagan cultures around the world, who had forgotten that all life comes from God and that He is eternal, that He never dies and comes back again, they used that to commemorate this ending, this death thing. And they began to celebrate all kinds of ceremonies having to do with being afraid of death, with placating what they believed were evil spirits, with providing for their loved ones who had died so that they could somehow placate the gods of the other world into having a good afterlife. And it was into that scene that Christianity came. Of course, we know with the Roman Empire that Christianity came as early as the end of the first century to the British Isles. But it didn't really have a strong foothold in Northern Europe and the United Kingdom until almost the 500s. And around that time period, we have the time of St. Patrick, who Christianized Ireland. You have, you know, a lot of the other saints or early leaders of the church who brought the gospel to Northern Europe and the United Kingdom. And because All Saints Day was celebrated at different times during different parts of the year throughout the Christian church, these evangelists saw an opportunity to band together and choose one day that would be in stark contrast to the pagan celebrations they saw around them, and to use that day to celebrate All Saints Day. And so they picked the day that was the closest to the most common times that the pagans would be celebrating their celebrations of fear and loathing of death and of worry that they had to placate the gods, and instead use it as a time to say, though you are dead, yet you will live if you place your trust in Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He alone is the one who was dead and is now raised from the dead and who promises to all of us eternal life if we follow Him. The celebration of All Saints Day became an appropriate time for them to say, you mourn your loved ones who died. You worry that they may not be good enough for the other life. You worry that the gods might not be fair and might not take good care of them. You're worrying foolishly. Trust in Jesus Christ, and all these saints of the past are testimony that when you trust in Christ, you can die with dignity and go to your eternal reward.
So Christians then did not see Halloween as oppression, but as an opportunity to take what was pagan and use that as a springboard or an opportunity to talk about resurrection. The real solution to death and the grave ultimately is the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Well, certainly if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you are steeped in a culture that says that death is frightening, that whatever is after death is just as full of uncertainty and fear and depravity as this life, it would be a very oppressive thing, and you would be very fearful. You might worry about demons. You might worry about the gods and goddesses and not properly pleasing them. It could be a horrible kind of a life. In fact, the whole idea of wearing scary monster masks and imitating demons started as people, because the pagan people, some of them believed that demons would bother them if they didn't properly placate them by leaving out treats and other things of value for them, in some way placating the demons and the gods. And so if you wore a demon mask, you could fool the demons. They wouldn't know that you weren't one of them, and you wouldn't be subject to their attacks. But this is all pagan false philosophy. This is all false belief. This is something that the church didn't come in and be afraid of or run from or warn people of as though there is any power opposed to God in actual reality. But instead, they saw it as an opportunity to bring liberty and freedom and peace to people who were oppressed by their own fears and their own ignorance.
So if you look at the history of Halloween, Halloween proper is a Christian holiday.
Exactly.
Response to a pagan practice. Today, however, it is largely pagan again, in the sense of it being a secular holiday or even a pagan holiday. Is there a silver lining for us today, and should we participate?
Well, there is a silver lining. It is a pagan holiday in the sense that it is not Christian very much anymore. Most people have forgotten about All Saints Day. Most people don't take it as an opportunity to share the freedom and the love that we can have in Christ. But it's not pagan in the sense that it's almost entirely secular. Most of the people who celebrate it have no religious conviction at all, or they have just some sort of a vague, amorphous, yeah, I kind of believe in God, I guess I'm an American kind of thing. It is the second largest commercial holiday in the United States. It makes more money for retailers than any other holiday except for Christmas. And of course, you have a whole month to build up to Christmas, and it seems like now people are spending a whole month to build up to Halloween. The candy sales for Halloween are almost the same as they are for Easter now, and yet Easter was traditionally the candy holiday. I think it already has passed that for Christmas. But these are all pagan things. Someone who dresses up on Halloween and goes to a costume party and eats candy corn is no more likely to be a devotee of Satan or of witchcraft or of anything like that than someone who gets up on Christmas morning and opens Christmas presents and maybe even darkens the door of a church for once a year is a Christian just because they're celebrating Christmas. As a matter of fact, most people celebrate both holidays because it's a time to get together, to have fun, and to celebrate some things that are kind of in the vestiges of their cultural memory as a human experience, and yet they really have no understanding of the value or the purpose behind certainly the Christian holidays of All Saints Day or the celebration of Christ's birth, or even the pagan or polytheistic, the folk religion, the non-Christian religions that preceded Christianity in Northern Europe and the United Kingdom.
Gretchen, one of the issues that people struggle with when it comes to Halloween is the difference between witches, and Satanists. So often Christians confuse Satanists as witches or vice versa, but there's a very significant difference, isn't there?
Yeah, there certainly is a big difference. It would be as though somebody were to come to you and start trying to prove to you that Muhammad is not a prophet of God, and you were to say, what are you talking about? I don't believe Muhammad's a prophet of God. They'd say, well, you're a monotheist, aren't you? You're a Muslim, aren't you? Well, no, I'm a Christian. Well, monotheist, Christian, Muslim, it's all the same thing. You used to believe all that monotheistic stuff. Well, witches and Satanists have very, very different worldviews. And just because we don't agree with them as Christians doesn't mean that we can lump them all together as though they were the same thing. They're not any more the same thing than to say that a Muslim and a Christian believe the same thing. In fact, they believe very different things. And at least the Muslim believes in one God and the Christian believes in one God. But with witches and Satanists, they don't even have that kind of thing in common. In fact, most witches, if they have any set belief in the idea of a supernatural being or beings, believe in more than one god or goddess. They believe in spiritual powers, if they believe that the supernatural actually exists. And they are more involved in environmentalism, in seeing the innate unity of all reality. They're kind of pantheistic in the sense that everything is of the same substance. Everything has the same spiritual value.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin the conversation. Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
We are engaged in a war. A war. Not a war with bombs and bullets, not even with power politics. This is a war with an invisible enemy, against the rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And the only way to know victory over this enemy is to know the weaponry you have to fend him off. The Covering by Hank Hanegraaff is based upon Paul's words to the Ephesians commanding us to put on the armor of God. The Covering outlines this armor and its importance in our spiritual battles. He explains what it means to incorporate God's covering and the practical ways God delivers us from evil. Consider it your effective biblical battle plan to wage successful spiritual warfare. Call CRI and order Hank Hanegraaff's fascinating book, The Covering. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also order The Covering online by going to www.equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Let's now rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and his guest in the conversation.
Most witches, they're kind of pantheistic in the sense that everything is of the same substance, everything has the same spiritual value. The Gaia movement is another reference to what commonly is termed by Christians as witchcraft. It's an idea that all of existence is holy, all of existence has the same spiritual value, and that our goal as humans is to be in harmony and be in tune with the whole, with the entire, with the whole organism of existence. And they are not violent. They don't sacrifice living things. Many of them won't even sacrifice plants. Many of them are vegetarians. Most of them are involved in practices that either they have borrowed and adopted from pre-Christian or non-Christian polytheistic religions, or sometimes they've even invented their own systems. That's what most witches are involved in. Do they practice spells, whatever you mean by the term spell? They do. They practice things that they believe help them to become in spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical harmony with the world around them. For any witch to want to be destructive towards someone or to practice quote-unquote black magic is really kind of against the whole system of contemporary witchcraft that we see today. Now, the Old Testament, when it uses the term witchcraft, as translated especially by the King James Bible from, you know, the 1600s and also by other translations, refers to practices, not to worldviews. When those terms are ascribed in the Old Testament, they're ascribed to people who are living in the Jewish culture with the Jewish worldview, which is not the contemporary witchcraft worldview. In the Jewish worldview, there is only one God, and any spiritual force or entity set up against that one God is by definition excluded and outlawed. And so witches who participated in practices that had been outlawed by God or that were related to the worship and service of idols were considered enemies of God, not because they were like what we have today in contemporary witchcraft, but because they were doing practices within the context of a monotheistic worldview that they knew were treasonous, spiritually treasonous actions. Satanists, on the other hand, there are a number of different kinds of Satanists, and one of the things, because it's a religion that appeals to the self-indulgent, they tend to be as varied as there are practitioners. Everybody can do his own thing. Most Satanists don't believe that spiritual reality exists. Most of them don't believe that God exists, much less that a spiritual entity named Satan exists. But they hate Christianity, and they set themselves up as their own gods, as their own determiners of their own fate. They put their own needs, their own wants, their own desires first, and everybody else can be expendable in that realm. Some Satanists do believe that spiritual power exists. Some of them believe that there's just kind of power out there, kind of like the force of gravity or something like that, some natural force, but it's a non-physical force, and that they can tap into it and use it for their own goals. And while they probably wouldn't want to describe themselves as destructive or evil, because their ethical system is, if it benefits me, it's good. If it doesn't benefit me, it's bad. They could very well imagine hurting someone or exploiting someone or manipulating things against someone else for their own benefit. I'm not saying that all Satanists do that. I'm just saying that their worldview allows for that. Where in the witchcraft worldview, your whole goal is not self-indulgence, but self-absorption. In no way am I saying that the occultic trappings or imitations of Halloween are something that Christians should emulate or support. In no way am I saying that Satanism is spiritually harmless or as good a religious choice as any other. In no way am I saying that witchcraft, even as benign as it is in comparison to some more destructive practices, in no way am I saying that that is a good religious choice or that it is equal or even superior to Christianity. Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and it is only through him that we are reconciled to God and enjoy eternal life. But it is very important that we are credible in our witness, that we can be counted on to tell the truth. When we mischaracterize history or mischaracterize a religious group or a movement, we do no favor to the gospel, and instead we tell people that we are incredible, that we cannot be trusted, unless we can understand from the point of view of the person involved in it what is meant. Then we do not have the credibility to say why it is that we are absolutely convinced that God's word has the answer to all of these things.
We're talking to Gretchen Pasentino, and we're talking about a subject that she knows more about than most people out there. In fact, she was a contributor to the information we have at the Christian Research Institute on Halloween. We're going to go right to your phone calls now. Melanie in Mount Lebanon, Pennsylvania. You're on with Gretchen Pasentino. Hi, Melanie.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to comment on some of the things that this woman said.
Hi, I'm Gretchen.
For instance, All Saints Day. I don't see anything in the Bible about that.
Hebrews,
the Bible says all believers are saints, and nobody church. The Catholic Church has canonized certain people, and they invoke them, Mary and the saints, to intercede for them when Christ is the only intermediary between God and man. Nobody is above another person. But Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And I don't believe that we should celebrate Halloween and support witches and all these evil things. God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me."
Yes, all of us are saints, but some people are exemplary examples of faith, and we are to look to them, and as Paul says, follow me as I follow the Lord.
And we have a faith hall of fame.
Exactly.
Well, in the Bible.
We think of Abraham in the Old Testament, who was willing to sacrifice his own son that God had promised he would bless the nations through, knowing that if necessary, God would raise him from the dead in order to fulfill his promise. We have Moses, who even though he was slow of speech and stumbling in speech, listened and did what God said what God said, and led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us a whole list of examples of people who followed God and believed what he said. And that chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, ends with, "And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." So yes, as Peter says, we are all part of the great hall of saints. And there's nothing wrong with taking from among those saints, of whom are you and me and Melanie and all the other Christians, and saying that person in particular is a great testimony of someone who suffers without complaining. That person over there is a great testimony of someone who takes every opportunity to share the gospel even when it's not convenient. That's what we're saying by All Saints Day. We're not saying that nobody but those remembered on All Saints Day are saints. We're not saying that you can't ever thank God for a good role model any other day of the year. We're saying that we're going to take a special occasion during the year to particularly honor and remember those people who were exemplary role models of the faith.
Interesting that there are so many misconceptions within the Christian world in terms of witches and Satanists, not only Christians confusing the two categories, but also attributing power to witches that witches obviously do not have.
The power that witches supposedly and Satanists supposedly have, there is a limited amount of power that any evil person has during this time before Christ's second coming, his final judgment, the reconciliation of all things. That power is very carefully limited by God. God works in the midst of it for his own good pleasure. He allows it and allows the consequences of evil as part of his fairness and his mercy in giving us free will to follow him or to continue rebelling against him. But it is really important that we understand that Satan and all of his powers, whether they are in false religions like Hinduism and Islam, or the cults like Mormonism or Hare Krishnas, or in other worldviews like Satanism or witchcraft, all of the powers of the devil were defeated by Jesus Christ on his cross. Colossians 2:15 tells us not merely that the power of the devil was defeated by the cross, but that in fact by the cross, Christ publicly humiliated and shamed the forces of darkness. And that's why Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 can tell us to put on the full armor of God and give us the confidence that we will stand against the powers of evil. not in ourselves, not by a word that comes out of our mouths, but by the power of God and His Word, the Word that is enfleshed in Jesus Christ and given to us specially and perfectly in His Word, the Old and the New Testaments. And so Ephesians chapter 6 doesn't tell us to make little spells, doesn't tell us to speak forth words, doesn't tell us to plead the blood on our house or go put oil on our doorposts. Ephesians 6 tells us to live the disciplined Christian life in the power of Jesus Christ, who has defeated the enemy already.
And I call Ephesians chapter 6 the covering. In fact, I wrote a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. If you put on the full armor of God, you're a guaranteed victor in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty. The Covering, also available through the Christian Research Institute when you give us a call at 888-7000-CRI or log into the World Wide Web at equip.org. Bottom line, Gretchen, Halloween, should we participate? Are there other activities that we would be better served to be involved in?
We absolutely should not participate in anything that's evil or anything that brings disrespect on the gospel. We can choose to ignore or insulate or isolate ourselves from the holiday altogether. In my opinion, if I have the opportunity to do something proactively, to go out and make a stand for the gospel, to bring forth the gospel, to use the opportunity as a time to positively present the claims of the gospel, then I'm doing an even better thing than merely refraining. I'm actually redeeming the day, just as God took me, a poor and desperate and miserable sinner, and turned me into someone who could give Him praise and glory.
As always, Gretchen, it is great to have you on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
It's a blessing. I always enjoy it.
We're out of time for today's show, but we'll be right back here tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
It's been our pleasure to have Gretchen Pasentino as our guest today. Today, Halloween is predominantly pagan, but there is still a silver lining. Like our forefathers, Christians can choose to celebrate All Hallows' Eve by focusing on heroes of the faith who were willing to stand for truth no matter what the cost. We can also overwhelm the tradition of the ghouls with the truth of the gospel. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org. where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Engaged in a war, not a war with bombs and bullets, not even with power politics. This is a war with an invisible enemy, against the rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And the only way to know victory over this enemy is to know the weaponry you have to fend him off. The Covering by Hank Hanegraaff is based upon Paul's words to the Ephesians commanding us to put on the armor of God. The Covering outlines this armor and its importance in our spiritual battles. He explains what it means to incorporate God's covering and the practical ways God delivers us from evil. Consider it your effective biblical battle plan to wage successful spiritual warfare. Call CRI and order Hank Hanegraaff's fascinating book, The Covering. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also order The Covering online by going to www.equip.org.